God's greatest gift to His anointed is the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the most precious gift from God given to born-again humanity. Unbelievers, who are disobedient to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will not accept the true gospel of Jesus Christ in which believers repent. Judas was a devil who was the epitome of all unbelievers, who commit suicide in thoughts or in actions. They know the truth and refuse to repent. He killed himself because he was an unbeliever. God gave us the Holy Spirit because we repented and believed the gospel of Jesus Christ for our salvation. Therefore, He desires for us to have eternal life. The Holy Spirit is life eternal abiding within us. Only the obedient children of God are the recipients. Life is humanity's most desired gift. God gives it to us by the merits of faith and obedience. In ancient times, they called the Spirit of God the anointing and the consecration of the Lord. Only a few selected spiritual leaders experienced the anointing and consecration of the Lord, such as kings, prophets, prophetesses, priests, judges, and Nazarites. However, today, in our era, Jesus has established a better covenant. From the least unto the greatest, we all can be recipients of the Holy Spirit if we believe and obey the Scriptures. We, who believe, yet not seeing Him, will rejoice with joy unspeakable. Only those who have the Holy Spirit can preach spiritual life. Jesus was a preacher of spiritual life. St. Luke 4:1, "And Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Verses 14-15, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all." Jesus proclaimed, verses 18-19, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus matured both spiritually and literally. St. Luke 3:23, "And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age." Jesus was emphatic, St. Luke 11:11, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone, or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent?" Verse 13, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Philippians 2:16, "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." When Paul wrote this epistle to the Philippian saints, he informed them that he was a true minister of Jesus Christ who was preaching about the word of eternal life. Many ministers today are ministers of death. They preach unbelief. They do not believe that Jesus is endowing his people with the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul was a great man of faith. He was not one of the 12 disciples who walked with Jesus in his earthly ministry. However, who can question the gift of the Holy Spirit given to him by Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church? Acts 9:17-18, "And Ananias went his way, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized." Acts 13:9, "Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost." God does not accept, nor send, carnal minds to labor in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without the gift of the Holy Spirit, all natural minds are limited to sin, rebellion, and natural thinking. Jesus Christ fills great godly spiritual thinkers with his Holy Spirit. St. Luke 1:5, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias." Verses 11-13, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Verse 15, For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Verse 67, And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, and prophesied. Before Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was born, God anointed him with the Holy Spirit. His conception in his mother's womb came as a result of the word that came from the angel Gabriel. The Spirit of God came upon her. St. Luke 1:26-27, And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Verses 30-35, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee, therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. St. Luke 1:41-42, And it came to pass, that, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice, and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Verse 44, For, lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. That unborn babe was John the Baptist. He was full of the Holy Spirit. The scriptures reveal that true Baptists are holy people, full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, St. John 6:47, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. In order for us to have eternal life, we must believe Jesus' words about the Holy Spirit given to spiritual leaders and believers of all times. Psalm 100:5, For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. The psalmist explains in this verse God's truth, which is His Spirit and Word enduring to all generations. Not only the prophets of old and the disciples, we likewise must have an experience of the Holy Spirit, because it is life eternal abiding within us. Jesus' truth continues throughout all generations. Jesus said, St. John 16:13, Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will shew you things to come. The Apostle Peter, who was a disciple of Jesus' ministry on earth, and also who received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, reveals to us in his writing that the prophecy of the Bible was not man's words. Peter wrote, 2 Peter 1:21, For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It is clear to us that the Holy Spirit was in operation long before the dispensation of the mass outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Today, the Holy Spirit is still speaking through those who have the Holy Spirit, both male and female, as the Holy Spirit moves them. The Lord revealed to the psalmist the power of the Holy Spirit, who controls God's ministers, the protection they receive by the ministry of the angels of the Lord. The Lord warns humanity of the dire consequences of touching His anointed. The psalmist wrote, Psalm 105:14-15, He suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, He reproved kings for their sakes, saying, Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Abraham was God's anointed prophet. The powerful angel of God protected him and his wife, Sarah. However, he chose some believers to be martyrs, but not Abraham. God rebuked King Abimelech in Genesis 20:3, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." Verse 7, "Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live, and if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou, and all that are thine." Verse 14, "And Abimelech restored him Sarah his wife." Psalm 104:4, "Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire." The natural fire consumes and destroys, likewise, the Holy Spirit in God's ministers destroys Satan's kingdom, which is in the heart of those whom he possesses. This is why there is a continuous battle between the wicked spirits, which comes from the devil's family, who fights against the spiritual kingdom of God, which is in the hearts of believers. The Lord Jesus has commissioned a great ministry of angels to protect us who are heirs for salvation. Jesus declared, St. John 7:38-39, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Those of us, who now have the gift of the Holy Spirit, believe as the scripture has said, not as the minister of death whose theory of the Holy Spirit era is already past. By believing, the Spirit of God flows in our hearts as a river of living water. I will remind you again what Paul wrote, Philippians 2:16, "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." I continually strive in each message to hold forth the words of life that my running will not be in vain, nor that my labor be in vain, and at the coming of my Lord Jesus Christ, I will rejoice and finish my ministry with joy. All ministers of death, who preach unbelief, are laboring in vain. They will die and go to hell because they do not believe that humanity must have the Holy Spirit. St. John 3:3, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Jesus was explicit and emphatic. His words are to all generations now and forever. St. John 14:17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." The Spirit of truth that Jesus is speaking about is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the world could not receive the Holy Spirit, therefore, we must separate ourselves from the sins of the world. The carnal man seeks for physical proof and natural observation. It is obvious that sinners do not know him. However, we, who have separated ourselves wholly unto the Lord, have the Spirit of truth with us and in us. Jesus reveals to us the secret by which we can receive his Spirit when he spoke these words to Thomas. Verse 6, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father God, but by me." Jesus made it clear that God in Christ will not answer false worshippers who worship false gods. There is no delivering power in any other gods, no man cometh unto the Father God, but by me. St. John 4:24, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." 1 Kings 18:21, "And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." Verse 24, "And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." Now we understand, only in the name of Jesus Christ will we receive deliverance. For his name is deliverance when we call upon him. It matters not what our situation may be. Jesus continues, verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Despite the prevalent evil force of wicked spirits and wicked people, Jesus will comfort his people with the Holy Spirit and the promises of his written words. We further observe that Jesus himself said that God, who is the Father, would send the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Moreover, the established fact is that we cannot receive the Holy Spirit by none other name than Jesus. We cannot worship the true God and Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit. Apostle Paul proclaimed to the Philippian believers, Philippians 2:9-11, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." All principalities and powers must be subject to the name of Jesus. Jesus gives us peace by the Holy Spirit. He said, St. John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." This is one of the most comforting scriptures in God's Word. Jesus gave us his peace through the gift of the Holy Spirit, and this peace is not like the peace, which the world has. Sinners seek peace in the lust of the flesh, drinking, telling lies, coveting money, all the pleasures of sin, etc. Only God's children have true peace of mind and heart. Jesus said for us not to let our hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid, because he knows our every natural and spiritual need. He is our heavenly Father, and he will protect us because he loves us. He desires for us to have the greatest of all, everlasting life. Paul said, Ephesians 3:19, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." The Lord can fill us with the fullness of God through obedience to the Spirit of God. Jesus will give us his wisdom and knowledge to defeat the power of all the forces of evil. This is the love of Christ toward us, which passes all our knowledge and understanding. Verse 16, "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." God's glory is his strength and power to defeat the devil and the works of the flesh. The Holy Spirit will give unto us his continued power against sin. The Holy Spirit strengthens us in our hearts. Paul continues, verse 11, "According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul realized the fact that the Lord gave us the Holy Spirit to prepare us to work for him for the salvation of believers, and subsequently at the end of our physical life receive everlasting life. We receive many temporal gifts from Jesus, but there is none other gift that equals the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is eternal life abiding within us. Jesus said, St. John 6:63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." Too often, we seek for those things, which are temporal to satisfy our soul. However, Jesus is holding forth the word of life in this verse, telling us that our flesh does not benefit anything. The Spirit, who is the Word of God, is alive in our hearts when we receive the Word of God in faith. Peter said, 1 Peter 1:22, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren." Furthermore, it is emphatic to us that we, who have believed in the word of Jesus concerning the gift of the Holy Spirit, are now entering into some spiritual perfection. Apostle Paul taught, 2 Corinthians 13:9, "And this also we wish, even your perfection." It is, absolutely, obvious that the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus gave to us, is God's perfect gift to humanity, because it is God's mind, thoughts, actions, and life, living in our human flesh. Likewise, it is God's spiritual image. Without the endowment of the Holy Spirit, it is, absolutely, impossible for human flesh to come to the spiritual image and spiritual perfection of Jesus Christ. God has given each person a gift for the upbuilding of his kingdom, but without the endowment of the Holy Spirit, our natural gift is void and empty, and God cannot use us as instruments of His workmanship. God's desire is for all believers to come to spiritual perfection in their gifts by the Holy Spirit. Jesus revealed, St. Matthew 5:48, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." We must have the divine aspiration to evolve unto spiritual perfection. Paul wrote, Ephesians 4:12-13, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Each believer has one or more of the nine gifts of the Spirit, and when all the gifts are at work, they edify the body of Jesus Christ, who is the Church. It is the stature of Jesus Christ in its fullness. Apostle Paul declared, 1 Corinthians 12:8-11, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." Peter quoted the scripture concerning the prophecy of Joel on the day of Pentecost, signifying the fulfillment of his prophecy. Acts 2:17-18, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." Preach. King David prayed, Psalm 51:10-11, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." King David prayed for a clean heart and a clean spirit after he repented of his sins of adultery and murder. He knew that God would have forsaken him if he had not repented, fasted, and prayed for a clean heart. God will never deviate from his divine standard of holiness. He also prayed to God to preserve his soul from hell. Psalm 16:10, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." David continues, Psalm 86:2, "Preserve my soul, for I am holy, O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee." Obviously, he had faith that God would answer his prayers for eternal life. God anointed King David when he was a little child. 1 Samuel 16:13, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." So Samuel rose up, and went to Ramah. Conclusion, Apostle Paul said, Romans 8:9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his."